This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what I was talking about. If you want to see me and Squidbilly in the DJ booth tonight at 92.9 The Game Night. At the Hawks game, yeah, this is exact dance move I'll be rocking with, man. I don't look. There is a and Dylan, I'll be curious to know your thoughts on this. There is a height restriction on dancing, straight up.
Absolutely.
Like if you are north of, let's call it 6'1", stop.
Yeah, you're a little too lanky
just
at that point.
Stop, bro.
A little too lanky.
There's no way to look real smooth dancing if you're north of 6'1". There's no way.
Nope.
You just gotta hit the pause button. And two, it took me a while to realize that. You know what I mean? Younger me was like, I'm in this thing. You know what I mean? We were talking yesterday about some of the clubs, bars, everything else. I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter. And look, there's been times where I definitely don't care. But there's definitely a height restriction on, you know, thinking you're smooth with it.
Like, even if you have rhythm and you're a tall person, like, it doesn't matter. Even if you could dance, like, it just doesn't look good.
No, yeah.
Like, it
you
just
look like Gumby.
Exactly. Like, you know even if you got some solid moves and you got rhythm, when you try to execute it, it never works.
Yeah,
man,
it never works
out. Y'all sound like some haters, man. Let them dance. But let them dance.
Yeah, we're trying to help them.
You don't live this life, man. Yeah. I'm just telling you, there's just restrictions on certain
things.
You
just can't do it,
bro. There's just restrictions on certain things. There's certain clothes that I'm just not going to rock with. They don't look good on me. You know what I mean? So, it is what it is. Look. Very comfortable with that. I'm not going to go in there and just think I'm going to break it down in front of the Hawks crowd tonight at 92.9 The Game Night. But if you want to, hey, let it fly. Feel free. But I will be, folding my arms up and twisting from side to side. Dylan, this morning, you didn't get a chance to catch this because you were doing the hometown take. There is a member of this show that just likes to kind of sneakily talk trash. Right? And that happened to me this morning.
Oh.
Right? So we walk in. I was sitting at the table.
What?
Bo walks in. And I'm like, hey, man, I want to watch this this piece from last night.
I did.
There was a report on NFL Network, and I wanted to see what somebody was thinking of it. And so he's like, yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. There's something else I want to watch first. And he pulls it up on YouTube, and it's the highlights of Bama versus Florida, which
oh.
I know that we both watched last night. I don't need the highlights to know that Bama caught all the smoke in Tuscaloosa,
yeah,
right?
I don't know, man.
As the seventh overall ranked team in the AP, and I know that Florida's playing really well, and it was the fifth overall team coming into town in Tuscaloosa last night. They get the big dub over Alabama. They win by 5 points.
He had to make sure you knew. He had to make sure he knew.
Let's watch that. Let's watch those highlights. It was like, oh, there's something.
Right.
There's something I want to watch.
Sneak it in there.
The way it went was, he goes, let's go to that. He did what he said the first part, and I said, what I said was, I want to watch. I want to watch highlights real quick.
Yeah.
And I went to that game and I posted it. And I was waiting. You know what the best part was? Is now I know.
Yeah, yeah. Because I didn't say anything.
Now
I wasn't going to give you.
I didn't give him anything.
I just looked up like this now. You see me right here? I'm looking up over the microphone.
I put on my Florida football hoodie, which I know it's football, but it's Florida hoodie. And he didn't say a word. And then I walked in and I was like, all right. I'm going to get you. Wanted him to say something. I wanted to say something then. He didn't say anything.
Right.
So then he didn't say anything. I was like, all right, I'm going to get you. And so then I turned on the highlights, and he still didn't say anything. And he plays it. He played off pretty cool.
Yeah, I did.
But guess what?
You got him.
I won.
Yeah.
It was an alley-oop fest last night in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it was. It was an alley-oop fest. Honestly, it was hard to watch. Condon obviously finishes the triple-double for Florida last night. And I'm going to guess that I don't know, something like 97% of his points last night came off alley-oops. It felt like he hit his head on the backboard multiple times.
He dropped 27 and 10. Dylan, how much college basketball have you watched?
Yeah, I've kept up with Georgia heavy
not much.
Bit. besides Georgia, I haven't caught a whole lot of national college football. I've caught a Duke game here or there, but not a lot of national.
I've watched more than I've watched in a long time, but I've definitely watched a lot of Florida. Florida is built like a national, like one of those late 90s Kentucky teams, like national championship teams where they're built like the Billy Donovan teams after the back-to-backs.
Yeah.
Because that team, the back-to-back had
they were loaded.
A plethora of NBA players.
And I actually watched them in Tuscaloosa multiple times when they'd come to town. I'd always go watch Florida play Alabama.
This team is built like the 14 Final Four team where I don't know how many of them are legitimate NBA prospects, like, you know, guys that you're going to see in the league for 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, there's no Cooper Flags on the squad.
But there's some really, really good college players. I think Alabama's a little bit like that this year. Auburn has a guy or two that's legit going to be playing in the NBA. But college basketball feels a little bit more, I'll say this, where college football has been hurt by the NIL, I think college basketball has been helped.
I agree.
Because I think players are going to stay longer because of the NIL, and that makes the college game better because nothing is better than watching a team stay together for a couple years in college basketball, and then boom, they're a really good squad.
No, and I think it's a straight up numbers game, right? When you look at college, when you look at the NBA, like you got your two rounds. Really, let's just call it you got one round if you're going to make it to the league. So And there used to be, like, this feeling in college basketball among college basketball players. It's like, you know, if you're not going to the NBA, it's like, do I really want to extend this time? I got my degree, this, that, and the other. There's, you know, freaking 300 D1 teams or whatever it is. Now it's like, yeah, dude, I'm making 250K. I might as well go ahead and come back. I might as well get that third graduate degree. Way it seems like a lot of players are nowadays, man. So I'm with you. I think it's absolutely helped the game. It's made it a lot of fun. It was a good matchup. It was toe-to-toe for a long time last night. So, but hats off to Florida, man, because they're a really, really good squad and going to make a lot of noise, especially if they're able to capture that one seed here in a little bit.
The fact that Georgia is going to is tracking to be in the NCAA tournament in what is the toughest college basketball conference because of the 16-team conference now that we've ever seen.
Yeah,
I think is a testament to, and I know I've been critical of Mike White, but I think it's a testament of what he's built there because Georgia is not a Mike White is a good coach. Not great. He's a good coach, but he knows how to build a good program. Not a great one, but a good one. Georgia's never been a good college basketball program consistently.
Yeah.
I think he could have them as a tournament team for quite a while. Like one day, and if the NIL does help basketball, like I think it is, that means you can maybe build a team that could stay together for a couple of years that could make a deep play. You know, maybe one every four to 5 years, you're making a deep run in the tournament and even making Final Fours. So that it has the potential to be really good there for a while there for Georgia basketball, which is something they just haven't seen at Stegman.
Yeah, we are within a week of the SEC basketball tournament, I believe. And so what did help Alabama out last night was the fact that you lost, but Tennessee, who is behind you in the SEC standings, also lost. So that's going to be a fun SEC tournament to keep track of. And I'm sure we'll have everybody up to date next week on all the goings-on with that. All right, to some NFL news. Some information that, I don't know, could be important to Atlanta Falcons fans. Chargers release 5-time Pro Bowler Joey Bosa. Now, this guy, Joey Bosa is older than most people realize. This guy's been around. He was the longest tenured member of the Chargers. He obviously, his number completely inflated this year. I think his number was 36. They're going to save 25 and still take an $11 million cap hit next year, but they choose to move on. Elite of the elite of the elite in the first 5 years of his career, let's call it that. Completely banged up to the point where I want to say in the last 3 years he's tallied total of 14, something along those lines. So completely kind of fallen off because he has been dinged up. You remember when we played the Chargers last year, that was a lot of the conversation on a little bit of a pitch count. They wanted to make sure that he was staying healthy for the stretch run. They used him in very particular pass rushing situations, and that's how they moved forward. So
5, 9, 14. Those are his last three seasons. Those aren't his sacks.
That's the
those are the games played.
Yeah.
He hasn't played a full season since 2019, because remember in 2021, that was the first year of 17 games.
Yeah.
He is his sack total since 2000, the last three seasons is 2.5, 6.5, 5. This guy has 4 double-digit sack seasons in his career. The last one was 2021, which is the last time, it was the most games he played last time. Now, he battled a hip last season and played through a lot of it. I just got asked, should the Falcons be interested in him?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I'm looking at every pass rusher.
Yeah.
The
at
price
the right
tag,
number, abso-freaking-lutely.
But the fact, it, what am I getting, how many games am I getting, and what is the price? Because yeah. I can't pay $20 million for no production.
Yeah.
And when I mean that. Also, what is his deal? What is he looking for? How much longer does he want to play? This guy, he'll turn 30. He's not as old as you think, but he is not as young as you think.
To your point, and I'll go ahead and answer that question because this is what it feels like. Do you remember when the Texans moved on from J.J. Watt? And he goes out, he signs a 2-year contract with Arizona. His first year with Arizona, he's hurt, he's dinged up, and then he finishes strong, plays out his contract for his second year. I think he played all 16 or 17, whatever it was at that point, played the entire season, and then he retired. That's what I see as the future for a guy like Joey Bosa. He doesn't feel to me like a guy that's going to play into his mid-30s. Play, it feels to me like a guy that understands his health, understands probably what he's done to his body over the last few years, would love to play a couple more years, tally, you know, $30 million more dollars or whatever he's going to get out there in the open market, and then call it quits.
Well, in that case, I need to sign him to a 3-year deal for cap purposes, okay? Then he needs to be he's going to be on a pitch count. He's going to be a situational player. He's not even, to me, I don't know if I can play him like I did Calais, where Calais was a guy that Calais played a lot of snaps here, a lot more than people realize. That year he was here at, 38?
He played a good amount, yes.
And so Bosa would have to get the Veterans Day off. I just think you have to handle him a certain way. I'm not sure if that's a luxury this team has right now. You know AK is going to give you 6 sacks. You don't know what Braylon Trice is going to do. You don't know where you're going to go in the draft. I'd love to have Bosa here, but I would rather have Khalil Mack here.
Yeah.
Can I ask y'all this real quick?
Sure.
Do you think his injury history, because y'all were just touching on it, do you think it's going to affect his market value at all?
It should. But as thirsty as the NFL is for edge rushers, I don't know that it will.
Well, right. The question for that is, that's kind of a tough question because you have a couple of teams that have a lot of cap space that are that can win now. And like, I think the Bears think that they're a few players away. With Caleb Williams?
Sounds like it, the way that their news came out yesterday.
I don't think they are, but they think they are. The Commanders are. They have almost $60 million in cap space after they would sign their rookie players that they could bring him in. The Vikings have a lot of cap space. The Bengals have a lot of, but they have to take care of Trey Henderson first. The Steelers and the Lions and the Packers are all in there, along with the Rams with cap space, so... The Broncos as well. So there are teams, in other words, there are teams out there that have that could bring in a guy like that and be significantly better, and they're already good on defense.
Yeah. And two, you also have to look at the factor, and I think Dylan's question is a fair one. There also is the factor of, given his injury history, is he like how picky is he gonna be? Like, is he just out looking for zeros? Is he looking to a situation where he can be just a designated pass rusher? Is he looking to a situation where he can go where win a ring? Right? Is he looking for a playoff run?
He wants a ring. Come here.
Yeah.
And we got Michael Penix,
yeah,
man.
That wasn't the first thing I was going to say. But, yeah, I mean, look, I would love to have him. But I think he's got to be a DPR at this point. Right, if you're going to pay him, you have to make I don't think he's a 3-down player because you're going to risk the injury.
Well, you're going to risk the injury, But what I would have to go look at the snap count percentage for last year, but is he the best? Would he be the best option against the run game? And a lot, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like you're saying, if it's fourth and one, are we putting him in the game?
Exactly. Yeah. Is he a three down player at this point?
Yeah.
And it's not just health, as that's what's his strong suit. I'd love to sign him as a designated pass rush. Problem is, that's what we do. We go get guys that are at the they're a little long in the tooth, and we think they're going to be our savior, and they're not. And so, to me, going and getting a lot of that is more of a. I would rather take my chances on a younger player like a Malcolm Kuntz from the Raiders.
Well, and that's going to be a conversation moving forward, because when we come back from the break, we're going to continue our conversation about corners. And we've talked about the top 10 list. I don't know that the Falcons are in on any of the top five, but you got to have a corner somewhere. How does Mike Hughes fit into that conversation?